I am Michael.
I am Drake Margolnick.
And you're in this thing. Is it a burrito, a band, or, well, we'll get to this. Actually, before we get into my first real thing, what is this thing called?
This thing, the minivan that we're in?
Yeah, what's the minivan?
No,
no,
it's a Chrysler.
It's a Chrysler.
It's a Chrysler.
Minivan.
It actually has
So that's the name of the act. Yeah. The Chryslers.
No, I should probably change it or else somebody will be mad at me. Yeah, the Chryslers, man. What the heck?
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
I might get sued.
Yeah, sorry. We're flagship.
You're flagship. Hey, wait, let's put the microphone in the middle. Scream it loud. What are you?
Flagship.
Amazing.
Yep. Love
a secret, a question we've never been asked, and then a lie.
No
one ever asked me what I want. No, I'm kidding.
What you want?
No, I'm kidding.
What do you want?
I want everything, man.
Me too.
Power.
Okay, so I'll fill in some stuff.
Okay. Yeah, ask me.
Let's see. You came up with the name about 14 billion years ago, way before you were ever going to do this.
Yep.
You were in different bands. Then Drake filled in, and the rest is history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've covered it. We're done, right?
I think so.
Yeah, there's nothing left.
Yeah.
I usually go in different order, but I'm going to go straight to that Joey producer guy.
Yeah. Joey,
because you kind of picked an interesting producer. You know, we're talking about the big curse, the sophomore record. Oh my gosh.
Well, the reason we went with Joey is because we met him years ago, and he was one of the two guys we were trying to choose between to make the first record with. And then when the second record came around, we were like, well, Joey had a really good vibe. Love everything he's worked on. He's a new producer, and he also seems like the kind of guy who's actually going to, like, jump in and be part of the band and not just produce it, like, and hijack the album, which, you know, most producers don't, but what we really needed was somebody to come and, be in the band, and that's what he did.
Well, it helps, you know, it's so interesting, because it's become a trend the past bunch of years, musicians suddenly becoming producers. You know, that guy from the Black Keys, he's kind of done that. That guy from Spoon, he's kind of done it, right? Yeah. You go to producer for one of three reasons. You have respect for them, and they have all sorts of really cool gear in their studio, right? That's one reason you go. Another reason you go is because you want that sound. You know, they do it. Or three, what you did, which is, wait a minute, this guy is truly going to add musical value to what we do, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
it's that, and then also a ton of respect for Joey. And
he's a very unassuming fellow, and he's just a great guy to work with. You know, he's...
Don't die in the middle of the conversation, buddy.
I got a piece of cashew stuck in my...
Yeah, uh-oh. Oh, watch out. But, yeah, I mean, he's just a guy that we knew... First of all, for me, personally, to be creative, I have to be in the right zone with the right people. If somebody's got a bad spirit or a bad energy in the way that they bring to the room, it's hard for me to be creative. We loved Joey so much, and we knew that we could create with him and be vulnerable and experiment. So that's one of the big reasons I wanted to work with him.
And he's become a really close friend at this point as well. So it's like, you know, there's more music to come probably from this relationship, which is also a huge kind of, I don't know, something that came with this record, a new relationship with someone that we trust and we can make more music with, which is also great.
But we are sitting here in the beautiful Chrysler van. Chrysler, you now owe us some serious money.
Yeah, seriously.
Seriously, I think that they owe you a license, man. I think that they should
Do I need a promo more? Like this leather on this chair.
Yeah, it's Royal Corinthian leather.
Incredible.
A really cool van.
It's a nice van.
Yeah. It actually is a very plush van, and you haven't messed it up yet, but you know, you'll get there.
Yeah,
exactly. And you're about to enter, I'm gonna do this with my voice, the album cycle. Now you're in, see, musicians never, you had to know this. And I'm talking to musicians like, well, we're kind of halfway through the album cycle because we released this and then we did the first tour of smaller venues. And now we're in bigger venues opening for a band and then we'll be headlining. And it's like the album cycle.
It's how long the album has legs, I put it in quotes. You know,
which means you have to tour behind it for that long, which could be a lot of weeks.
Can be a lot of weeks. And I mean, when you're a band like us, the release is just the beginning of the process. You know, it's not, you know, if Elvis puts out a song, then everybody freaks out, you know.
If he does that right now, by the way, that would be pretty amazing.
A song right now, everybody freaks out.
Yeah. Everybody would freak out. Yeah.
That would be pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're entering the cycle, so you kind of better hope that you like the music because you're going to be in the cycle for a hot minute. But but we like it, so it's cool.
That's a good start.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a quote from a little while back that you said. When I say you, the both of you, but one of you obviously said it, that it's taken longer than expected to get to where you are, even booking tours, getting somewhere, even with all of this talent and all of this wonderfulness, that, you know, it was more than about 40 hot minutes. It was a lot of hot minutes. So yeah. when you're thinking back on that, and then you're going, okay, now we got the sophomore album, we're on a cool label, we just had an amazing relationship with a producer, why do you think it took so long?
I think, like, the phrase paying your dues is a real deal thing that each artist has to do. Even the artists that seem like they popped out of nowhere, they didn't.
Right, I put it on SoundCloud and poof, there I am,
yeah,
alone.
I gotta say, it's hard to make an average because each artist and band has their own unique path, but it takes about 10 years to get into this thing, to even kind of get to where we're at. You know, we've been with our label for, I guess, 5 years, but we've been doing this for 10, 12 years. Like,
so that's the part that nobody talks about, right? It's like, oh, you're here and you're signed, and poof, there you are.
Like, oh, this is a new band I just found, and it's like, to me, this is not new whatsoever. You know,
there's always just another big hurdle, and I don't think that ever stops, and I hope it doesn't, because if it does stop, it'll get boring. And I always want this to be interesting, but obviously we do want to be successful and we want to make music that people can connect to and appreciate and enjoy. So, yeah.
So how did two guys from Charlotte get to a label formerly in Emeryville and now in Mill Valley, California?
Someone who we haven't talked to in a minute showed, I think actually my solo EP to the label, and then contacted us, and then we were like, well, we have a band, and we just named it Flagship, because Flagship was an older band that I was in, and they had their band, obviously, you know that. And then, so they were like, yeah, well, let's come hear you, and they came all the way out here. We set up a couple showcases for them, and then, you know, it went well.
The other thing that is kind of like this deep, dark thing is being I love this word, being a secular act.
If we had, or maybe somebody had, it's to clarify that we're not a Christian band, because we get that. And the thing is, I wish that didn't have such a negative connotation, but it really does, and it does to me, because we were raised Christian. You know, some of those values are still in place. Yeah, I mean, some of those values are still in place, but our music is not Christian music. It is for everyone.
Thank you.
It's not specifically to enrich a region of the country's life. It's for whoever wants to listen to it.
So, sense of humor. That car on the cover, that's not an electric car.
It's not an electric car. It's a burned up old crummy car.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of sense of humor here between the title of album and the visual that goes with it.
Yeah, there kind of is a little bit of a pull, you know. We're kind of in a desolate scene with no electricity. So I suppose, yeah, there's a little bit of comedy there.
But this is a big sound, and there's some choices made there. Was this recorded analog by any chance, or was it meant to sound that way?
I mean, I think we're always kind of aiming for the warmth of analog stuff, you know.
We mixed it in the box, but it was recorded just, you know, outboard gear.
Like, I could hear that.
Really great, warm, really great warm gear. We had a wonderful engineer. You know, in addition to having Joy, we had a guy named Bill Mems, and he's actually a phenomenal engineer. So he got those sounds nice and warm.
It's a big record. I mean, so when you were thinking about it, when you're doing the demos and you're writing the songs, did you think big record, or did it grow?
Absolutely. Everything, actually, it was intentional about this album. It was thought out to the very smallest detail, because we hadn't really approached an album like that before. You know, we did our best with the first one, but we also let that one kind of breathe and just kind of have its own life, which this one does, but we shaped it and molded it purposefully with intention to make a good sophomore record. Like you said, it's important to make your sophomore record something you're really proud of, because it's that next it determines where you're headed. So he wanted it to drive the ship in the right direction. So
big refrain, anthemic, but holy Toledo, dark.
These are my favorite kind of songs.
Mine too.
Where a song might sound really happy. I'm trying to think of an example, but it's just not. But there's some hope in there too, and that's how you can attach it. You can attach. You can be sarcastic. You can be honestly upset about something, and still the song can sound fun and uplifting. It's just you can, there's a lot of ways to play with that. I think we did with Mexican Jackpot a little bit. Like the verses are a little more hopeful, but then the chorus is like, man, feeling sober, like this is, you know, a rough time.
So moving forward, Midnight, the ladder, Burn It Up, are you sure everything's okay?
yeah,
you're sure, because you know people are going to worry about you. I mean, you guys seem just happy and fine. We're sitting here in the big van, but man, oh man, wow. I just want to make sure everything's okay. There's something we're not missing here.
You know, it's not okay all the time. I have some real problems sometimes, you know? And that's like, that's why I
mean, I'm being funny, but I'm not being funny.
No, I understand. We usually, most of the time, are having a really good time, but then, you know, you get to live in your life and things aren't always okay. And the way that I personally...
Relationships are complicated.
That, and then loss is complicated, and there's a lot of hard things you got to deal with, and the point of our music is to be genuine and honest, and I'm not, you know, we want to write songs from our experiences and not just for the hell of writing songs.
Yeah. Okay. We don't bounce around like the Wiggles or anything, you know, like we feel dark things that don't feel good, you know, and when I play music, I connect to it in a deeper way, so if it's not real... I don't know, what's the point?
I think we like connecting people with that side of themselves and letting them know that it is okay to feel that way sometimes.
Do you know, and do you ever talk about or think about in any formal manner what the filter is for a flagship song?
I was just actually talking about this with a friend where this record definitely had a filter of, I want to say a lot, but not too much. And every time we get into the studio, that filter kind of gets looser and looser with certain themes. And, you know, so I think the future songs that we're going to write are probably going to get even deeper into some things that I might not have been comfortable writing down this time. I think the filter, the more you do it, the filter kind of...
It widens.
It broadens, but also becomes even more intentional in that broadening, if that makes sense. And
yeah.
I know Michael feels the same way. Like, I ask him about lyrics all the time, and I run things by him. It's very much something we do intentionally, what we're trying to say and do, you know.
And this record is very much made to be played live. It's you know, you and it's not about the live in the studio thing that people talk about, but I can tell that you made it big enough that when you play it live, the transition between the two people aren't like, because, you know, so many bands make studio albums and then people hear it live and they're like, you know, I don't know why I don't like that song as much live, but they're messing. You know, a lot of people come to concerts, particularly these days, to hear the album. And they expect that the band is going to, you know.
Or at least that it be better than the album.
Well, yeah. Well, and that becomes a whole another disappointment, because when you put so many layers of things that you can't possibly recreate live, and you have to have 25 bazillion tracks.
That's one of the good things that I will give us, like, a little pat on the back. One of the things we know about ourselves is that we're always going to be able to put on a good show. Like, that's what we base everything on. So making the record is usually just like, it's like, well, we're going to be able to do this and even better than that because we're performers and we're good at it. So it really isn't like a scary thought to go and make a big record and wonder how you're going to pull it off. It's kind of fun, like challenging. It was very challenging to figure out how to play this album. And we're still figuring it out because I think we played like 4 shows with it. But it's kind of fun. It's a challenge.
Yeah, and I think us as a band, kind of over the years of who we are, we've always been a little bit ahead of the curve as performers over recorders, I think, from the beginning. You know, we were like, we can play this stuff live great, and then trying to get it to work well on a recording was more difficult. I think this record has caught up, and I think the record's incredible, and we can perform it incredible. So It's a good place to be.
So the other part of the lovely business, the visual part of the business, I know for Mexican, you pretty much, you know, did a performance. So, you know, some bands just say, you know what, we're not going to get all conceptual and pretty girls hitchhiking down the road. We want it to be us. So do you talk about that?
That was another one of the intentional things we wanted to do with this album, is kind of not have artwork, have ourselves in it, and just let everybody know, like, this is us, we're Flagship. Like, it's me and Michael, and, you know, that a lot happened over the last 4 years to get to that point, and we've just been kind of trying to establish, like, we're not going to keep changing. Like, you can count on this being what it is. Like, what you're getting is what you're going to keep getting.
So what I've done for the last 40 minutes of the hour, the Flagship hour, is I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs as the bread on the outside. Mm. And then we pick a bunch of songs live in between.